Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, November 7th, 2007, the only November 7th, 2007 in the history of humanity. And it's also the only second night of the Autumn Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution ever. So let us make it a record breaker, if you will. And chiming in even before he is introduced, as is his privilege as the president of the Gospel Revolution, is Mr. Michael Williams. Hail to the chief, Michael. How are you tonight?
I'm just so excited. You know that little commercial of Disney World, and the little kid is on there, and the next day they're going to Disney World, and they're telling him to go to sleep, and he said, "I can't sleep. I'm too excited." Well, that's me tonight.
And why are you so excited tonight, Michael?
Well, I'm excited for just a plethora of reasons, I suppose. Goodness, life is changing. The ministry is taking on so many dynamic fronts. And even with our webcast, my goodness, we've had this, got this awesome upgrade in on the equipment. And I just and when we were testing, I could tell that everything was clearer, and I just love doing things in a quality sort of way. So being involved in the church here, and we had a shipment of CDs that went out today, yay, and the rest of them will go out Thursday and Friday, and this office will be completely cleared of all CDs. And DVDs, I might ask, and then we'll actually get to start advertising our CDs and DVDs again, because my goodness, we've been doing some work here. This has been awesome. It's just been awesome. So just about on every level, I can say that life is good. The gospel is going out around the world. It just finished the conference down in Corpus Christi, where I was not a scheduled speaker, but I did get to speak, and we had just a tremendous response just from that one time. John, my pastor, also spoke, and when I got back here, I noticed that we had two of the ministers from that conference had gone into PayPal and contributed toward our goal this month. So it's just, it's good.
It's good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams. We want to take care of some housekeeping business right off the get-go. We went off last week when we did a special Tuesday night webcast, the first night of the pledge drive, not having raised any money, frankly. But as people have listened to the archive, got our post on their emails, we have made a tremendous comeback, all due to your generosity. And what we're doing over the next 21 days, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it now, having completed our first week, is raising $10,000 for the expenses of Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution. And the $10,000 is divided this way. We want to raise $5,000 in one-time gifts, and then we want to raise $5,000 that will be annual monthly contributions. As Michael has emphasized so many times, it's the monthly giving that is the mother's milk, the lifeblood of this effort, because that helps support every single month. Because obviously, in every communication that we have, we're not focusing on raising money. But we do once a quarter, and this is the time that we do it. So we just have to raise $5,000 spread out over the course of a 12-month period. And a bunch of people have done that. We've had people that have contributed $100 a month. We've had people that have contributed $10 a month. But it all goes into the same kitty, if you will, in the same pot. And we're going to get to your questions. We're going to want to acknowledge that the people that did give during the course of the week, And that's another reason we're excited. We need your money. And you know, one of the questions, and we might as well get to it right off the bat, came from a fellow named Gerald, and he wanted to know, no, that wasn't Gerald. I want to give proper credit where credit
Absolutely.
Is due. It was, Gerald did ask a question, and we want to get to his question because it was a good one. But the question regarding the specifics of the finances was from Paul. And Paul wanted to know what happens to the money that's given. He feels that, Michael, if we would tell people where the money goes, that people would possibly be more liberal, if you will, with their giving. Well, first of all, let me tell you how to give, and then we're going to get into where the money goes. First of all, go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage. Click on donations, and then you have your options. You can donate one time. You can make a monthly contribution. But whatever you do, large or small, it all adds up. It's all important. The $5 gifts are just as important as the $500 gifts. And don't think that because you only can give 10 bucks that, you know, it's not worth it, because it all adds up. Thousands of people are listening to this right now. If everybody gave 5 bucks, we could wrap it up right now. So you go to donations, you click on there, you make your best effort, both for a one-time gift and hopefully for a pledge of monthly giving. And then just email us here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can count it towards the goal. That email address again is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Now, we know a lot of people listen to this program on the archives. That's why we have it there, so you can listen to it at your convenience. Regardless of what time of day or night you're listening to this, when you make a donation, let us know at webcast@gospelrevolution.com that you have done so. And please let us know where you listen from, because it is so encouraging to us, Michael, when we get these emails from all these divergent places all over the globe to know the gospel is permeating literally the four corners of the earth. You talk about being excited. You can hear it in my voice. It's a very, very exciting thing. So, but if you're listening live right now, it's 7 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast here in Tampa, Florida. And if you're listening live, another option, and a very good option, and one we want you to participate in, is to call us on the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline and let us know what you're going to pledge, and then you can have your questions or your comments addressed at 1-800-436-3260. As Michael said, we've got a brand new soundboard. We've got all three lines working up. Everything is going in the right direction. Who is going to be the first person that calls and gets on the new soundboard tonight? 1-800-436-3260. So you email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com after you've donated at the homepage at the gospelrevolution.com website, or call us at 800-436-3260. Okay, so that housekeeping is out of the way. Now, Paul wants to know, Michael, we've stated many times that nobody makes a salary yet because that's just the financial situation we have found ourselves in. When people contribute money, their hard-earned coinage, to Mike Williams Ministry and the Gospel Revolution, what do we spend it on?
Well, I think you just mentioned one thing that, you know, in the overall scheme, I think it's costs us about somewhere between $1,300 and $1,500 just to do these upgrades for this. And, of course, then there's just the daily things that have to be paid for, the ordering of CDs and DVD covers, the maintenance of equipment. And right now, I'm getting, I think, one paycheck a month, and most all of that is consumed by my obligations in Illinois. And
don't just pass over that. Explain what your obligations are in Illinois, which are vast.
Well, first off, my obligations in Illinois, as everybody knows, I had was married for 27 years, and still my best friend is my ex-wife, and that's Hazel, and she's just been a real, just really wonderful through all of this, and so part of my personal obligations are to take care of her house payment and a alimony is part of my financial obligations, which I have that at the top of the list because I feel very much that that is my number one financial responsibility. It's not to myself first, but to her. And
by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Hazel feels the same way about Michael that Michael does about Hazel. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful relationship to experience. And most of you beautiful humans know the story about why Hazel and Mike aren't married anymore. But Hazel is still very much part of your life, Michael, and part of this gospel revolution effort. And she, you know, needs to eat and stuff.
Yes, and she, you know, she's still doing her part there and takes care of so much. And she doesn't get paid at all, you know. I mean, goodness gracious, this is my ex-wife. She doesn't get paid for doing what she does. But she still is maintaining the fort there in Illinois. And so the expenses, my goodness, just paid out $1,100 for airfares just for myself and my pastor going. We're getting ready to go up to Calgary. And, of course, we have expenses of putting that conference on. And we are also planning the conference in May, which is going to be an expense to get that conference on here in Houston. That's going to be our international conference, which we're hopefully we'll be able to get more information out to you. But you know what? I'm just like with Tim Pruitt. I mean, folks, I have so many wonderful people in my life who have committed themselves, such as Glenn, faithfully. And I really want this to get to a point to where that all of the people, Tim Pruitt and
Tim Pruitt, just so you folks know, Tim Pruitt's our webmaster. When you go to gospelrevolution.com and see things updated, like tonight Tim updated Mike's itinerary, which now includes a meeting in Beloit, Wisconsin, on November 18th and 19th. That's on there. Tim Pruitt does that from South Carolina.
Yes.
Paul asked this question as part of his question about the bills, Michael. He said, please explain the implication of not being able to pay certain bills. Well, you know, we could spend all night on this, Paul, but here's the bottom line. When we don't have enough money, like, for example, we got this new board in for the webcast. I paid for that today. And so that we could improve the quality of the webcast.
Yeah.
That's what credit cards do. And the implication of not being able to pay our credit card bills, everybody understands that. Basically, when you're wondering what we're spending money on, it's everything that you spend your money on in your life. We need stuff like toilet paper, and we got to pay the electrical bill. We have to put gasoline in our car. But nobody yet, and I emphasize yet, is making any money on this. We hope that changes, and we've got some strategies, the webcast not being the least of which, in order to move this thing financially forward. We don't want to put anybody in any kind of financial jeopardy to support this thing. And if everybody, or I should say when everybody, does what they either say they want to do, or when the gifts reflect the impact that Michael's message has had on their lives, we're not going to have to do this like this again. There will be a day. You know, Oprah Winfrey, Michael, when she does her show, she doesn't ask for money. All she says is, you know, we'll be right back after this commercial.
That's right. Well, let me say this also. The one thing that I noticed when I was reading the news yesterday, we are not one of the six ministries that are under investigation by a Senate panel for abuse of their church status to allow themselves to live opulent lifestyles.
Yes, we hadn't even talked about that. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about.
We're not on that list, okay?
No, we're not. It's Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa, who's a Republican, by the way.
Yes.
Who's investigating all these ministries who live ridiculously lavish lifestyles,
mm-hmm.
that have 501c3 non-for-profit status.
Yes.
Ministries like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, ministries like Creflo Dollar, ministries like our good friends Paul and Randy White are on this list. You can it's in the news. Just Google it. The Benny Hinn's on that list. These guys, there's an article or a mention in that article about Joyce Myers, the woman a speaker who apparently spent $30,000 on a coffee table. Here we are, folks, asking for $10,000 so we can pay our bills over the next 3 months, and Joyce Myers is out there spending $30,000 on a freaking coffee table. Now
I bet that's a nice coffee table, though, Glenn.
I bet it's a really nice coffee table. Now, I don't begrudge her the coffee table. I do begrudge her the message that she gets the money for speaking about. Yeah. But that's the reality, folks. And so I hope that answers Paul your question. And we've got so many more questions to get to this evening. But we've mentioned this before, Michael. But because of the way that the Lord has revealed the gospel to us, we're scandal-proof.
Because, yep, that is true.
And plus, because of the gospel, we are less tempted to do naughty things, in not just financially, because the Bible says that, Michael, the law was added, or the law was added to the temptation to add power to the temptation.
Yes.
That was the purpose of the law. When the gospel
Absolutely.
When the gospel comes in, it releases us from that draw towards doing the breaking of the law, if you will.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that the law does drive a person to obsessive compulsive behavior. I know that unequivocally. It doesn't make any difference who they are. They may have more self-control than someone else, but anyone who is trying to carry out a relationship with God based on the Ten Commandments or any other of the many, many laws that were written, it really does create obsessive compulsive behavior. It creates a drive for the things that are forbidden. And, I mean, all psychologists will tell you that which is forbidden is irresistible. And they've done all kinds of studies on this, you know, even from children out just playing in the yard, and then they've had a mud puddle off to the side, and they realized that the kids didn't even play in the mud puddle. And in a psychological study, they went out then and told the children, whatever you do, do not ever step in the mud puddle. And within a few minutes, all the kids were playing in the mud puddle. But it does. The law does that. So, you know, with all of these drastic revelations that we've had of the people who profess that morality is the creed of the gospel, there's a moral breakdown. That's the moral breakdown is not amongst folks who believe in the grace of God. The moral breakdown is in the religious community, where the law is being espoused as the measure of morality in relationship with God.
Absolutely. And I'll go even a step further. I believe that whatever moral breakdown that is being manifested in our society that it would not be credited, if you will, to the religious community is being influenced by the religious community, because they do have such a influential position in our society.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like, you know, except for the gospel, I mean, it's like, as far as I remember my life before in professing, you know, that it was my righteousness, my deliverance, my freedom, and I was so compulsive in my behavior. If not in my behavior, at least in my thoughts, I was constantly just driven and constantly fighting and battling. It's like, it is just so amazing that that is just not even a part of my life, that there is no obsessive compulsive behavior. I was talking, I was talking to a friend. I can't think of one thing that I'm addicted to. There isn't one thing that I'm addicted to. I cannot think of a thing that I don't have self-control in my life.
You and I were joking the other day that now that we've been out of the church for about 10 years, we're real good Christians now.
Yeah, it's like, this is scary. I'm becoming a good Christian. You know?
All right, 1-800-436-3260. We're going to get to as many questions, as many comments, as many acknowledgments for the giving as possible. We've got 90 minutes, and we want you to get involved at 1-800-436-3260 or email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with what you've done by visiting the gospelrevolution.com webpage and clicking on donations. Our first donation that came in last week came in from P.J. Hankins from Muncie, Indiana, and that was for $100. And P.J., thank you so much.
Yeah.
And this is what P.J. says here at the end, Michael, of his letter. He says, I know it's not mandatory, but I love God. He says, I know it's not mandatory, but I do love God. I love Jesus.
Isn't that awesome?
And he says, I love Jesus, and I want others who do to get together with me as a group so that we can get together and love God and love Jesus together. He says, it's amazing how much more I want to worship now compared to when I was under the law.
Man,
of being required to worship. So, we're getting our Champions of Grace list together, so you'll be able to log on. But PJ asked for us to share his email address. So anybody that is in the Muncie, Indiana area, here it is. This is PJ Hankins. It's P. Hankins, P-H-A-N-K-I-N-S, the number 11, at gmail.com. P. Hankins, 11, at gmail.com. And he says, Viva la Revolución.
Yes.
We've got Michael and Andrew calling from Carmel, Indiana. Michael.
Hello.
I got a problem with Patrick. Who's that?
I've got a problem with Patrick.
Yeah. Can we get Michael and Andrew on? It was going so well. Patrick, can we get Michael and Andrew on, please? We got Michael and Andrew calling, speaking of Indiana, from Carmel, Indiana, who are fixing, are you sitting down, Michael?
Yeah.
To donate $500.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, guys.
Oh, there, I can hear myself on the computer. Who's online with us right now?
Hey, this is Michael Shastall, Michael and Andrew.
Michael.
Michael, thank you so much, man. $500.
Hey, you're welcome.
Tune down your computer.
Okay.
It's on a delay. Yeah, when you guys get online with us, make sure your computer's down because it is on delay, and not because we're worried about you guys swearing, but that's what normal radio shows have to worry about, but just because it's just the delay of the internet.
Right. Okay.
So, did you hear Michael when he was in Indiana? What's your story? How you got to know the Gospel Revolution, Michael?
Oh, years ago, three or four, I'd say 4 years ago, he came and was preaching, and he stayed with us, and we're friends, and just changed my life.
Yeah, and I tell you what, my relationship with Michael and Andrew's changed my life also. This is, a couple of really wonderful people there in Indianapolis. And it's just, every time that we've been able to get together, it's always been, just an incredible, incredible time. So, Michael, my goodness, Michael and Andrew are personal friends of mine also. And, just knowing that you've called in and to do this, I mean, it really touches my heart very deeply. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say this gospel message set us free, and it's been such a big blessing in our life. And I know that in the past, when we gave to ministries, it was always out of obligation and guilt. And I went through a dry spell, of course, like most of us do that learn this gospel, where you don't want to give because you don't have to anymore, so you're kind of set free. And this message is, the true message has been the biggest blessing, and I think it's time for us that have been set free to give out of our heart. And we appreciate the opportunity to give. And we really want to thank you guys for doing this webcast every Wednesday night. It's a big blessing. So I hope and pray that can continue.
Well,
I hope other people will call in and give because it's it's setting people free. So anyway.
No, so did you go online and donate through PayPal, Michael?
No, Patrick was going to get on the line with me when we're finished, and then I was going to give him my credit card number, whatever you guys prefer.
Well, right now, people may have discerned at the beginning of this conversation, we're having a few technical issues with our new board, but would you mind just going on and doing it on the website there?
Oh, no problem.
It's secure, Michael.
Okay.
and plus, you know, for gifts of $100 or more, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to receive free and postage paid Michael's new 2-CD teaching on In Christ. And so, Michael, you and Andrew will be getting that.
Wonderful.
And stay in touch, all right?
Okay. Hey, thank you so
all right,
much.
Go ahead and do that, and you're, boy, that's a huge help, and we appreciate it so much.
No problem.
Guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So there's Michael
awesome.
And Andrew, and so you knew those guys. You've known those guys for years, huh, Michael?
Oh yes. No, it's been a few years now. I think it's been a little bit more than four, actually. I think we're all losing track of time as we're getting older. But, goodness, I think this has been back, it was before 2000 for sure, when I went there. There was a pastor that had reached out to Michael and Andrew and who had condemned these gentlemen before and then reached out to them after he had heard the gospel, and then he had invited me in to speak at his church. And soon after that, he, as a pastor, he just decided to close up shop. He said, you know what? He said, I don't think he ever felt that he was called to be a pastor. He was trapped under the auspices of the Word of Faith movement and felt that he, to be in God's perfect will, he had to be in full-time ministry. And, moved back home to where the family business was, and he and his wife and children are doing great. But that's how I came in contact with Michael and Andrew both. And they really have been such a tremendous blessing in my life. And any time they've been able to help, they have. Like the last time that I was in Indianapolis, I didn't have the funds to get a rental car. And so Michael and Andrew just stepped up the plate and said, well, here, use our car, take it anywhere you want to go, do whatever you need to do, and then when you get ready to fly back to Houston, just leave it at the airport. You don't have to bring it home. Just leave it at the airport and let us know where it is, and we'll come and get it. So that's kind of the people these guys are.
Wow.
And I so appreciate them so much.
There's so many people out there that we've met, and there's a lot more people to meet, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of the reasons that we need your money, because we need to let more people know that we're out here. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number. And just go to the website, click on donations. You go to the website at gospelrevolution.com and then click on donations. We're looking for one-time gifts and then people to make monthly contributions, pledges of monthly giving. This $100 donation came in from Tim in Canada. And he says, this gospel, Michael, has changed my life immensely.
Wow.
And he said, if it weren't for the gospel, I do not know even if I would be alive today.
Oh, my.
He says, while it is exciting to see homeless people, transsexuals, gay people, straight people, drug addicts, et cetera, finding love and acceptance, and their lives one by one are being changed for the good, he said, yet he is concerned that the mixed message of the gospel that we preach, which obviously we believe is the only true gospel, the gospel of complete and utter acceptance, mixed with the message of the church, which is, you know, you've got to please God throughout your life, is going to frustrate people in their growth and their understanding of this God who loves them unconditionally.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, you know, the only enemy to the gospel is legalism. There is no other enemy to the gospel. Your lifestyle is not an enemy to the gospel. Your thought life is not an enemy to the gospel. You know, your conduct is not an enemy to the gospel. You know, Paul made it very clear that you could do nothing against the gospel at all. And the only thing that comes up to where that you find statements made by Paul that people are doing despite to the spirit of grace and counting the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified as an unholy thing and falling back into perdition. And if you read all of those in context, he's talking about people who have come to know Christ and then fallen back under the performance of legalism and get robbed. And that is robbing. And it's not only being robbed, it's being bewitched, as he said in the book of Galatians. So if you want to know what it does for somebody to take, you know, the trueness and the wonderful acceptance of the gospel, and then to see what it actually does to people. Well, I mean, we've got it listed right there in the book of Galatians. You know, he tells us very clearly that it's witchcraft. It's people have been bewitched, and he explains, you know, the controversy and everything that goes along with that in the book of Galatians, which of course we do have the Book of Galatians teaching that is verse by verse from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6, just verse by verse right straight through, and it holds your focus on the reality of what Paul's teaching is in the book of Galatians. So yes, it is it's going back to a polluted mind. It's going back to calls it being bewitched. It is doing despite to the spirit of grace. So there is nothing. Your humanness does not offend the gospel. Legalism is an offense to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what is it offending, Michael? I mean, as you say, the gospel can't be offended. You know, it can't be negatively impacted. But what happens when somebody, and it happened to me. When I first became a believer in Christ in my mid-20s, I knew nothing about religion. I knew nothing about Christianity. I thought everybody was in. And then I got sucked in to the occultic perspective of legalism. And what is the offense attacking, if you will, when people say that you must somehow do things and not do things in order to have God be more on your side?
Well, that's just it. It is defiling the conscience, as Paul said, because as redeemed people, one of the things that Paul taught was having our conscience purged from dead works. And it just, you know, whatever the gospel, Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, salvation is the process by which we get our minds renewed and our hearts stabilized by the grace of God, and whatever the power of the gospel is, that is what you will not experience under legalism. It actually becomes something that is contrived. You believe that, you know, you believe people who say that they've got something that they don't have, and I mean, all you have to do is flip on Christian TV, and it's loaded full of it, and people. These people, and it's heartbreaking for me to watch while people are being told what they have to do to please God and being promised of what they're going to be rewarded with by supporting the ministries. Who's telling them that?
Oh, my God. I was watching TBN and a couple nights ago, and Tim Pruitt, who we mentioned earlier, our webmaster, I was telling him about this story. He says, "Why do you torture yourself?" And I said, "It's like watching, you know, the opposing team's game films. You know, I'm studying up."
Yeah.
So I'm watching TBN, and they're doing their pledge drive. And they're not trying to raise $10,000 either, folks, except that maybe in the next 30 seconds. But in any case, this guy, Jesse Duplantis, who's a well-known minister, preacher of prosperity from Louisiana, is up there. And they've got the garish set, and Jan's there. And he's getting people to call in, and he says, "You know how I know if somebody has got their act together and is put together inside, if they're a Christian?" He said it's by looking at their Bible. If their Bible's all messed up, then they're doing well. They're not all messed up. And he goes, Jan, let me see your Bible. And Jan Crouch's Bible is all torn and tattered. And he holds the Bible up, ladies and gentlemen, in front of the TV camera. And he said, see this Bible? This is why Jan Crouch doesn't have cancer anymore. And Michael, I wanted to throw my shoe through the TV set.
Yeah.
Because people are watching this crap all over the world, and they're thinking, well, I guess that's why my dad died of cancer, or that's why I'm struggling with this area of my life, because I have not spent enough time destroying my Bible.
Yeah, well, I was just watching Kenneth Copeland today, and he point blank said that anyone who, if you were not rich and healthy, that your life was an offense to the cross of Jesus Christ. Point blank said it. And I've heard Kenneth, be rather extreme on some points, but man, when that went out, I just thought, my God, man, what do you think you're doing to the people? I'm sure that is helping people who are sick and who are broke and need to be able to really trust God. Now they have to deal with not only are they sick and broke, but now it's a complete offense to the cross because they are. And my God, I mean, it's just,
But the offense, and then this is the point I wanted to make, the offense is not to the cross. The offense is to the psyche and
absolutely
the subconscious of the human being who is hearing this crap. And our psyches, Michael, are so fragile as it is, when you add the emotional experience of salvation, and then as it comes in, that this incredible love is that you've experienced in this joy and this acceptance is threatened if you drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around with girls that do. No wonder our society is in such a mess.
No, that's for sure. It definitely is the defiled conscience that is the offense, and that is what the Holy Spirit is really actively trying to help all of us with, is to become stabilized in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the grace of God, and in the peace of God, to where that the mind can be free. My God, Glenn, I believe that we are gifted and created in the image of God, but the only way that we're going to be able to walk in that in any degree, in the fruit of the Spirit and this treasure hidden in earthen vessels, it cannot be released out of us by putting that individual under the law. It comes through having the mind and the heart renewed to the power of the freedom of the gospel, and knowing that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. He didn't set you free to obey. He set you free to be free. And it is in that freedom that you find the ability to have the greatest effect on other people's lives in a very, very positive way, and to have the gospel itself affect your life personally in a very, very positive way.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution. This is night number 2 of our Autumn Pledge Drive. And before we get to our next caller at 1-800-436-3260, we want to recognize this $500 gift from Vic in Canada, who says, Michael, that he will be sending it via snail mail from
yes,
our friends in Canada. That takes a little longer, but very much appreciated.
Thank you, Vic. I'll probably be seeing Vic this weekend.
And Vic listens via the archives, he says, so he's probably not listening right now because for some reason he's got trouble with buffering issues, which sometimes happens, folks. Another benefit of having it on the archive, whenever you listen and whenever you are listening to this right now, your contributions are very much needed and appreciated. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did at the gospelrevolution.com donation page, and we can count it towards our goal of $10,000. Thank you very much, Vic. So appreciated. And now we want to welcome online from the great city of Chicago, Illinois, my hometown, Mr. Jim Novak, calling us from Chicago. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for waiting, and we're so happy to have you online with us. And so I understand that the gospel there in the great Windy City is having its intended effect for you guys as well.
Oh, it certainly is. I've been involved with, well, the teachings that I heard from Mike now. It's been about, I can't believe this, but it's been about 12 years already.
Yes, it has been, Jim.
Is that right?
Yes, I think you're right.
So I'm not getting any older, Mike, but you are.
That's true.
Well, he's like fine wine, Jim. You know, he just keeps getting better with age.
Yes, for sure.
So, all right. So, tell us, what do you do in Chicago?
I'm a real estate investor, and I'm involved with helping. Actually, we have a sort of a niche market that I work in. I help seniors who have found that they lived most of their life and didn't have enough money left for a good, strong retirement. I help them supersize their retirement by getting involved in. We bring investors in with small amounts of money to buy large apartment complexes. And they own these complexes, which they could never do on their own. But when we come together as a group and buy them, all of a sudden they have the means to have all of their needs met, financial needs met, through these investments, and they never had it available before. So we're in a pretty unique niche here.
And how long have you been doing that for?
About 12 or 13 years.
Just right about the time that you came across the path of Michael Williams.
Yes, and that's true. It's interesting because I live in the Mecca of Christianity in America. We're in Wheaton, Illinois here.
Yeah.
With Wheaton College and Tyndale Publishing and Billy Graham and every church that you can possibly imagine. And I can remember that I was going to an assemblies church, actually, at that time. And I had some confusion in my mind about when I had my first child, I started to have a little bit of trouble with how could I be in the image of God and possibly torture my son and let him burn forever. It just wasn't sitting really well with me. And I had been raised in the Catholic Church, was going into the priesthood, got involved with Saved in the Baptist Church, then got into the Charismatic Movement. I mean, I really went the circle, and I realized that I was really starting to have some questions. And a group of people from our Assemblies Church said that there was a fellow named Mike Williams that was going to be speaking over at the Wheaton Bowl, which...
Oh, my goodness, I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah,
I had never been there. Yeah. And so we went to this dark little room over there, and I don't know, there was maybe 20, 25 people there.
We were competing with the sounds of the bowling alley, too.
Yeah. And I heard some of the things Mike was talking about that night, and my jaw kept dropping. I kept looking at my wife, and I said, I've never heard this before. But everything is finally starting to ring true in my mind. This is making sense. So I went to the back of the room and bought, I think, every tape that I could get my hands on that he had. And I started to listen very carefully to what I now know is the gospel for the first time in my life. And the freedom that has come to my wife and I. We've gotten to be good friends with Mike and know Mike well now. But over the years, there's been such a freedom that has come from hearing this gospel over and over again and having to constantly divide and choose and listen when people are talking, where they bring you back under the law and all of these things. And I'm doing it so long that I realized that probably the number one thing that has come from this gospel in my life and in my wife Chris's life has been freedom. A freedom that I have had no idea even existed. And I know, Mike, you're in the middle of your pledging and giving month here. And I was thinking about it. You know, I'm not a farmer, but I planted some trees in my yard, and one of them that happened to have been here when we moved here 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years ago, geez, came from one seed, and there's 60 gazillion seeds I got to pick up every year after it on my lawn.
Yeah.
And so without, you know, getting into any legalism or anything like that, because it isn't that way at all, here's what I've come to realize, that the gospel has meant freedom to me. But what it really means is that the way I see it now, this may not be Mike how you see it even, or anybody else, I don't know. But it seems like God set up this incredible thing that it doesn't have anything to do with religion or anything like that. It has to do with the way he makes things work, that if you give, things start to come to you in abundance. And the issue of freedom, and that's what I'm thinking of. I have to speak this week on Friday at two schools and on Monday at two schools. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and they asked me to come and speak at the schools. What the teachers, I've asked the teachers, what is it that they want me to get across to these kids? And what they're saying to me is they need to understand freedom and the price that's paid for it. Well, it brought tears to my eyes.
My goodness.
And I, because I know what freedom is. And I know when I didn't have it. And you know, and in the world of just living in your country and being able to make a phone call like this or have a house to live in or not be afraid, that kind of freedom is very real, and I certainly am aware of it. But it pales compared to the freedom that comes when you know that God isn't mad at you, and you're free to take this incredible earth and just jump up and down and go nuts in it and see what you can plant and make grow. And everything that I plant grows.
Yes.
Good or bad. I've done a little of the bad side too. Chris might say a lot. So I know that this thing works. And when I think about, like, and I've talked with Chris, and we really want to get involved with giving. And it isn't, as much as I love Mike and I love, the, you know, what he's done for us and everything, I'm not actually even thinking of this about giving it to Mike. I'm thinking about the fact that that he went out of his way, spent his money, came to Wheaton Bowl. I got to hear what he's doing, what God has done for us. It's changed my whole life. That's a freedom to me that I want to keep going, and I want to give. And that's really how I'm looking at this whole concept. And I know that I'm probably not coming from the same place as you are, Mike, on this, how much money you're supposed to have, because I'd like to see you on that list that Grassley's got.
That's okay with me.
I mean, I just believe
let this curse come upon me. So.
As long as you know you're not doing anything stupid, and I've never known you to do things that were stupid and to hurt other people.
No.
I mean, I have no problem at all with people taking all of the abundance that Jesus said we could have. I don't have a bit of problem with that. But I know that most people trade in their freedom for security. And when you trade in your freedom for security, you're on a downward skid. And Mike, what I've been able to...
Well, I got to stop you right there, Jim.
Yeah.
That is profound what you just said. That is so relevant to what we're experiencing in our nation and worldwide right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said, when you trade security for freedom, or excuse me, when you trade freedom for security, pretty soon you will have neither.
He said you deserve neither.
And we're getting to that point then, Michael, I think, where in our society, and certainly in our religious society, we deserve neither.
Yeah.
That's right, and that's why, to me, it's so easy to give. When you think of giving as, if you're giving freedom and the spread of freedom and you're planting freedom, Katie, bar the door, what's coming?
Right, and you can't impose freedom in people's lives. This is what, you know, obviously we've been trying to do in Iraq. Freedom must be received. It cannot be imposed. And so you take that in a geopolitical sense and then extrapolate that down to our spiritual lives, it's even a bigger mess to try to impose free. Yeah, we're going to put a gun to your head right now. And if you don't accept this freedom that is being offered to you unconditionally, we're going to pull the trigger. And the trigger,
yeah,
and the resulting explosion in your brain isn't going to just blow your brains out. It's going to send you into an eternal torment forever.
Yeah.
That's not, what kind of choice is that? That's not,
right.
That's not a choice.
And so you opt for security, and you shut your mouth, and...
And you shut your mind.
Yeah.
And you know, I would like to, Jim, to speak up here and say that I concur with what you're saying. And, you know, this whole thing of the gospel for me has been, I think I shared this with you. I literally, and I've shared this with a number of people, I literally had to forget about and dismiss all of the benefits of the gospel to find the gospel.
Yeah.
I do know that there's benefit in giving. I know that there's power in, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and all of these things. But you know what? For me, being involved in the movement that I was in, I literally had to teach this gospel first off, which it took me into absolute poverty, but I taught to people, and it's like, I don't want you to give. I simply want to give you the gospel. And I didn't want them to feel obligated. I didn't want them to feel that they were going to give something and expect something, because the mindset, as you know, Jim, was so powerfully slanted that I believe with all of my heart now, looking back in retrospect on this, that I had to go there to get people free. But now that we've seen people embrace this, and I am so settled in this freedom myself, that yes, we are reaching out to people now, saying, yes, there are things that you can do with this powerful gospel in you that will reap huge benefits for you.
I'll tell you, Jim, I used to sit and listen to Michael teach, and had him in my home, had him in my church, of course, which ended the church, but some of the most profound, deep, rich teachings, and literally forget to take up an offering.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Well, so
I've seen that happen.
Well, so we're growing in grace.
You know, one thing I know you guys got to get going here. I just want to say one thing, if I can, before I leave you guys here. About 3 months ago, I was starving for some of Mike's teachings, because the new car that I have doesn't have CD. It doesn't have a tape player. It just has CDs.
Right.
And I didn't have CDs. So I sat down on my front porch and I pulled out some of Mike's teachings, and I started to just sit and listen to them in the morning. And I just have to tell you where I've come to on this one issue, because it's coming together for me so much more than I ever had. Mike, I don't even remember. I think it might have been the teaching on Isaiah.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the name of your teaching tape or not, but here's what came from it that I got, and it just hit me. I've been a person, I'm 60 years old, and I have been a person who usually, you know, fought pretty hard to do things wrong. I really tried to do it my way, in every way. But this one thing has just turned me around since I've been listening to Mike and Freedom and such. When I started listening to this teaching, it all came together. Here's what Mike said in two short sentences. He said, Jim, you know, if you found yourself being a dumb ox or a dumbass, that fit me pretty well. That's the first and second verse of Isaiah, the first chapter.
Yeah.
And God is saying, I wish you people would listen. Well, that's why what I have not been doing is listening until I started listening to Mike. So I started listening. I listened to this teaching. And what God was saying, and this is what I picked up, and this is sort of where I'm planting my feet here right now. He said the reason that they call people dumb as an ox is because even an ox knows his owner.
Yes.
And even an ass knows his master. He knows where to get his food.
Yep.
But you people don't even know where you came from. And then in verse 5, he says, that's why you're sick. That's why you have headaches. That's why you have heart attacks. That's why you are not sound, because you don't even know how this deal works. And that has hit me, that this whole deal is freedom, and all we have to do is believe the gospel and believe that Jesus absolutely did what he said he did, and that God's not angry with us. And it's like a flower that'll just bloom, and that's what's been happening to me the last few months, even after all of the years. So
yeah, that's one thing we're finding, Jim, is that this gospel cannot be exhausted. We just keep finding new ways, and mostly out of the Bible, to understand God's unconditional love for humanity. And that's and it helps. It helps you have a better day, because that's what salvation is, Michael. It's the renewing of the mind. It's the cleansing of the soul. It works. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again. Well, Jim, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And did you want to make a pledge tonight?
Actually, it's going to be a little bigger than that, and I'm sitting down working some things out right now. And Mike knows that I've even talked to him about this before. I'm just getting set up here now to do it. So, yes, we certainly will be, and I'm not trying to bypass it, but I've got to do some things to make this work right. But, yes, it's going to be, and we're very serious about it.
About this question. We appreciate you, Jim.
All right.
Well, you know, Mike. I just can't tell you. It's changed our life, and we thank you for that. And thank you guys for what you're doing.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you, and stay in touch, okay? Are you there? Is everybody there?
I'm here.
Jim?
I think Jim hung up.
Jim hung up. He hung up, leaving us hanging literally. Well, I know.
What an awesome testimony.
Yeah, that's a good story. All right, so now we have that phone line available, and we want to thank Jim Novak from Chicago for sharing his heart and his experience with the gospel. But now we want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. This is the Gospel Revolution's Autumn Pledge Drive, night number 2. We've got one more week, and we're going to be wrapping it up. We're raising $10,000, $5,000 in one-time gifts, ladies and gentlemen, and it cannot be stressed enough. We're raising $5,000 in an annual monthly giving on top of the $5,000 to get us to the $10,000. And whatever you can do, big or small, it all adds up, and it's much appreciated. Just go to the webcast or the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations, and make your contribution there, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, regardless of when you're listening to this, and let us know what you did so that we can include that in the goal amount. And if you're listening live, it's a little before 10 o'clock on the East Coast on Wednesday night. There's plenty of time to email us with your comments, questions, and pledges, or give us a call. And let us hear your voice loud and live tonight at 1-800-436-3260. And with that in mind, we want to go to James calling from Corpus Christi, Texas. James, you're online with Glenn Klein and Michael Williams. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine.
What is
James,
happening?
James, how are you?
Hey, great. Oh, I'm with you guys now, huh?
You're online,
yes.
Baby.
Okay.
You're online.
Mike was with us here in Corpus Christi over the weekend, and I just wanted to call in and say, tell you, Mike, how much we appreciated first of all, your presence there. You weren't scheduled necessarily to speak, but you did, and we're very grateful for that. And
thank you very much for allowing me to speak, and it really was a good time of getting to meet an awful lot of folks down there. There's a lot of people in the ministry who have come to an understanding of the redemption of the world, and so it was just a lot of people and coming from several different directions, but one like mind, that's for sure. It was just wonderful, and I got to meet James. This is James Forehand online with us now, and James really, really, really blessed my life while I was there, and I really appreciate it, James.
And James also earlier today made a $100 contribution towards the pledge drive, which we really appreciate, James.
Yes, thank you so much.
And James, you had a question. Would you like me to have Mike answer the question now while you're here in person?
Yeah, I would, but I'd like to make another comment first.
Go for it.
Well, I just want to say that something that I was thinking about while I was talking to my son, who lives in the Dallas area. He has three small daughters, and he's come to believe the gospel as well, and he's wanting to teach his family that. And but one thing that I'm not aware of is there any teaching materials for children along this line that can be gotten, or is this something that somebody needs to do?
Well, you hit it right on the head. This is something somebody needs to do. We've had over the years in the conferences, we've had a lot of people who've gained a tremendous amount of insight about sharing the gospel with children. And of course, the thing of it is the children understand it more than the adults do.
Right, because they haven't been polluted with all the religious dogma over the course of decades.
And they have these children were born into righteousness and holiness and perfection in the eyes of God. And what better rings true to their hearts than just that one thing?
Yeah.
And but yes, I think one of the things I'm looking forward to coming out of this is someone developing a really wonderful curriculum for children, for them to be able to be taught at early ages, and for them to be able to read. We need tremendous amount of books and material. There is just a floodgate of stuff that is needed, and I think is on its way. So yes, absolutely.
And there's a great song, James, that you could probably download off the internet or get at any Christian bookstore. It goes like this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that is good. That is good.
All right.
Another thing I wanted to mention as well that I am a member of Champions of Grace now as well, and I very, very much appreciate what Mike and John is doing along this line. This is it really helped me a lot. I was ordained with another group, but I never had no communication with them, and when I tried to communicate with them, I could never get a hold of them. So now I can just, I can get a hold of John just about any time, and that's really great. And Mike, I want to say also that as a result of you being with us this weekend, we are planning meetings here in Corpus Christi and the future on a regular basis, probably every 3 months, and I'm looking forward to that. Probably the first weekend in February or something like that we're looking at, but I'll be getting with you on that. But we want to do that on a regular basis here in Corpus Christi.
Oh, wonderful. And you want me to come down for that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that'd be wonderful.
That's
no,
fantastic.
I enjoyed that so much. And, and also... James, you can get a hold of me anytime too. Don't ever think that you can't. I'm available, and if I'm not here in the country, I'll give you a call as soon as I get back.
Okay.
And that is what we're here for. Champions of Grace is what it was set up for, is for us to be able to support people like James, so that we can offer our encouragement and our support and some directives that will help people like this precious man be able to carry out the ministry he has in his heart.
Yes, and James, I don't know if you were listening to the start of the webcast, but We incorporated a brand new soundboard tonight in the Glenn Klein Online Studios, which finally allows us to have all three of our working lines together. And coincidentally, just as you were mentioning his name, our pastor from the Freedom Worship Center is calling. So for the first time in the history of the Gospel Revolution webcast, we have all three lines working, and we want to welcome online, say hello to John Adair, the pastor of Houston's very own Freedom Worship Center. John!
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Pastor John.
Wow, what a week it has been.
Yeah, we're,
we have James Forehand on with us also.
Oh, James, what a wonderful brother.
Hi, John.
Yeah, well, listen, now we've got John on, we've got James Forehand, we've got Michael on in Houston, and yours truly, your friendly neighborhood talk show host. So here's James' question. Maybe we could all get to a great conclusion. When James donated his $100 towards the pledge drive, he asked a very direct and excellent question. He said, what is the body of Christ? Is it just those who are believers, or is it all humanity? Let's have a round table. This is exciting. We got all three lines going. All right, Michael, what is the body of Christ?
Well, I think the body of Christ is definitely and indeed everyone around the planet. I think that the more important thing is what causes us to become a functioning part of the body of Christ. And it is the functioning body of Christ that I think is so powerful in that we can really support each other, just like what's happening with Champions of Grace and with James being in our lives and us being in his life and in Glenn's life, and just like with Jim Novak in Chicago, he and his wife Chris. But the only thing that prevents the body of Christ from being as fully expressive as a body can be is legalism. So that's my part. What say ye, Pastor John?
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
I say JubileeConnection.com, James Forehand, JubileeConnection.com.
Yes, that's James' website. Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you for that plug,
now,
John.
You know, James.
I think Michael's correct. I think it is inclusive of everybody in the body of Christ, that when it says he came to his own and his own knew him not, that was Gentile and Jew.
Yeah.
And those are the only two groups of people there are on the planet, ladies and gentlemen,
yep,
that the Bible identifies: people of Jewish heritage and people of Gentile heritage. And the Bible says that in Christ we are all one in him.
Time.
And I loved what you said, Michael, about being a functioning part of the body. Because you know how, like, when you're sleeping on your arm at night underneath your pillow and it seems like it's dead, but it's not?
Yes.
That's how so much of not only the church, but much of humanity is. They're part of the body, but they're asleep. And
yep,
they need, you know, how you wake up and your arms is still connected, it's still part of you, but it's got to be shaken, and sometimes you got to even beat it to wake it up.
Get that circulation going.
You got to get the circulation going, and that's what the Gospel Revolution, that's what Champions of Grace, that's what the Freedom Worship Center is all about, is shaking those parts of the body of Christ that are sleeping right now.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and hang up, but Glenn, I want to tell you thank you very much for what you do. And Mike, I want to thank you for what you do, and I'm looking forward to many, many more meetings here in Corpus Christi in the future.
Thank you so much.
That's James Forehand from Corpus Christi. James, I've got to ask you a quick question.
Now, wait a minute. Notice how you didn't thank me for what I do. That's why they call me the prodder.
James, do you play tennis? Oh, he's gone. He hung up. See, I'll have to wait on that question. I mean, that's like the perfect name for a tennis player, James Forehand. That's awesome.
Too funny.
All right, so now we've got our third line available now, and you can call in at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260 and talk to Michael Williams on night number two of the Autumn Pledge Drive and John Adair, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center. Yes, we thank you, John, for plotting.
We are keeping so busy, he doesn't even know whether he is coming or going.
I'm going home right now.
You're going home right now. You know that much anyway. Here it is,
yeah.
9 o'clock, and he's just now. What time did your day start today, John?
I was on the road at 6:45 this morning.
You're gonna stop at Sonic's on the way home?
No, I did that at 7:30.
Okay. Tell you, that's an anointed place to eat, those Sonic's.
Yes,
absolutely.
It is.
All right, well, John,
it keeps us going.
Apparently because you're in your car and we're not yet on satellite radio, although that's coming in the name of Jesus. I'm prophesying right now. We're having a great time. We've been doing really well, and thank you so much for everything that you've done and that you're doing to move this gospel revolution and this effort forward. I mean, we've got people calling and donating and just saying that their lives have been touched in such a dramatic way.
That's fabulous.
So it's
Michael, have a chance to share about our Corpus Christi.
Yeah, we've touched on that. We've touched on that, and I want to get into that here in our remaining minutes. But do you got any?
He preached a message that I think was even revolutionary to him, that I think is going to unfold even more this weekend in Canada on that series. But my bit is on the title "Free to Believe." We'll see if he goes with that or not. But I think it is. You know, he's just getting better and better. And I would have said last week that's the best I ever heard. I'll say this week it's the best I've ever heard. And he is just. And I think he's just warming up. Now he knows there's one thing I was going to tease him on tonight.
Uh-oh.
He's been forewarned. And ask him about his prophetic dreams.
Why don't you ask him? No, you go ask
Why
him.
Why don't you ask him?
Glenn doesn't want to test that one. Tell him about the dream of calling Mom.
Well, I had a silly little dream, and I was in my hometown. And the whole thing was that I knew my mother was there, and which my mom has been dead, since I was 14 years old. This has been a long, long time ago. And the home that we lived in fact, we didn't even live in that home. We had been moved away from there for 4 years at the time. And so anyway, it was just this very beautiful feeling. I was trying to find a phone. A taxi driver was trying to get me to a place to where that I could phone home. You know, I felt like E.T., you know. And anyway, but in the dream, it was just very real. And that, you know, that I when I woke up from the dream, there was just this. The thing that was in my heart was, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm with you. And you know, I didn't know whether it was, God was with me or my mom's with me or whatever. And, of course, me being the skeptic that I am about most of these things, of course, the first
well, I'll say
I,
all of these things. But
all of these things. Well, one thing for sure, when it's real, you'll know it if I believe it. So anyway, I said, "Oh yeah, if you're with me, then give me the phone number." I just woke up, and I feel kind of foolish saying this actually. And so then suddenly, I mean, just bam. The number was there, and I remembered my phone number from my home from the time that I was born until I was 10 years old. We lived there for 10 years.
And when's the last time you had thought about that?
The last time I had thought about that number, I did remember that number for about 15 years after that, but had tried desperately to remember it over the last 25 years or so. And because I, you know, there was just something about it. It was part of home. I really wanted to be able to remember it, but I had forgotten. And
right. Yeah, you know how that is.
I had asked my, you know, it's just been so many years and just those parts of life. I mean, you know, who the hell's going to remember their phone number when they were 10 years old? And but I had forgotten it. And over the last 20, 25 years or so, I asked my brother and my sisters, you know, what it was. And I said, gosh, we don't have a clue what it was. So, but anyway, when I woke up, I mean, it just came to me, you
wow.
know, it was very clear, 615-882-3237, you know, it was like, okay.
That's an awesome story. John, I know you didn't hear this before because we were talking to Jim Novak from Chicago. And Jim talked about his major emphasis of what he wanted to talk about was the freedom that he has been walking in for the last 12 years since he heard Michael speak in Illinois. And then and he talked about the importance of giving and how when you have the freedom to give that, not just financially, but just in all ways, when you walk in this, that freedom comes back to you. It's a sowing and reaping process. And Michael went into, you got to listen to the archive, because he talked about the influence that you've had on him in this area, and how Michael had to give up everything that was associated at all with the Word of Faith movement and with religion and Christianity, and how slowly but surely we are now reclaiming that stuff in the light of the gospel. And
that's right.
And this was a very, very profound point that Jim Novak from Chicago was making about how important that had been in his life. And so, you know, we're talking about, are we part of the same body? Yes, we're part of the same body, and we are functioning in different ways so that the body works properly. You know, the heart, the heart does something different than the liver does. The liver does something than the brain does. The brain does something different than the what's another body part? Then the penis does, for God's sake. And we all got to do our part. And so, you know, your effect on Michael.
Glad to see you recognize that.
Is having, yes, it's absolutely fantastic. And
it is fantastic. So
you're the penis of the body, John.
Of course, that's what they say.
But some kids
call me a hemorrhoid. The others say I'm a
penis. It's all in the same vicinity. But at least some kidding aside, your impact and effect on what's happening with our little effort, and then of course worldwide, cannot be overstated. And you know, thanks so much, John, for what you do and for who you are, and for introducing Mike to Sonics.
Well, we can really praise God for who we are, each and every one of us, because He has created us uniquely and specifically for a time as this. He has made no mistake. When He made Adam and Eve, He made each one of us in mind at the time He made them, and knew where we would be at this time in our life and for the specific purposes. And, you know, two things I wanted to mention about our conference this last weekend, and some people were uncomfortable with the fact that I brought up Mike as having a homosexual lifestyle or being gay. And something came out of my lips that even taught me. It wasn't something I had thought about ahead of time. It was really just the Spirit of God speaking, and it spoke to me. But I think it really enlightened me on some things, that it wasn't about Michael being gay or not being gay, and it was about love. And I said, you know, when we think we're rejecting somebody for them being gay or because they smoke or because they're not keeping this doctrine or that doctrine or this dogma, we think we're rejecting them, but what we're actually rejecting is our ability to love. We are closing ourselves off from being who we were created to be in His image of love. And when you cannot love, you know, everything that you do, every vital organ you have, your heart, your breathing, your lungs, every vital organ you have operates effortlessly. But you can stop them. You can stop breathing. You can stop yourself from breathing. You can stop your heart. You can do these things, and you die. But if you just let it go, let it be, and be natural, they move along effortlessly. And love is the same way. It's not something you have to attain to. It's not something that you have to adhere to. It's something we all do effortlessly.
It just comes.
We keep it in perspective,
yep,
and know that we're not rejecting somebody because we agree with everything they do. We're not rejecting them because we're not going to surrender our own ability to love.
That's awesome stuff. I had, before we let you go, John, I want you to hear the story to make sure you hear. I got a call today from one of our supporters, and he heard you, Michael, many, many years ago in a church in Hawaii. And this is before you started preaching on the redemption of the world. This is when it was just for the grace of, for the Christian, when this all first started. Do you remember when you were out in Hawaii?
Yes, I sure do.
And he said that this is the church he was attending, and he was starting to get freed. And this is when it wasn't clear whether or not you had, quote-unquote, gone back to the gay lifestyle. And this is after you had come to the church and had a very large impact on the people there. And the pastor of this church made kind of a snide comment to the congregation saying that, well, it looks like Michael actually, you know, might be back in that gay lifestyle. And the gentleman that I was talking to today said that it was at that moment, that, because he wondered if it was possible that there would be a God out there that would love us no matter what. And even though that pastor was being sarcastic and meant it in a negative way, he knew that because the message came through a gay man, that it was a true message. And that it was that if God would love even a gay person unconditionally and not judge them based on their actions or their inactions or their own ability to adhere to the law, he knew the gospel was true. And I told him, I said, you cannot believe how many people we've heard that. I've never really heard it quite articulated that way, that it came from a pastor who was being actually mean-spirited about it. But the pastor thought he was kind of giving people a heads up and a warning. But what it actually did for this fellow that I talked to today was it actually cemented the fact that the gospel that you had preached just a short time before at that church in Hawaii was actually the true gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Isn't that fantastic?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, good stuff.
We got to give a shout out to Willie and Virginia Cripps and Louisiana and Rick Spencer. These are all folks that were with us over the weekend. They're just marvelous. Willie's got some great material that he's latched onto that we need to have him pass around here pretty soon. And Rick's doing Rick Spencer's doing a marvelous job. He is on our executive board with Champions of Grace, in the sense that on the executive level, not the board, but on the level. And just a wonderful, wonderful networker. He has got the gift of networking. And some of these people that are out there that are joining on board, and there are so many coming in, Glenn, that I can't even keep up with them.
All right, well, just...
But it's a great problem to have, but we're catching up.
Stay on top of it. And speaking of Rick Spencer, we want to thank him because he made a $100 contribution towards the pledge drive tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to get to more of these acknowledgments here as we close this webcast. So, John, drive home safe and get some sleep, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
Good night, John.
Love you guys.
Love you too,
John. Good night, sir.
All right, there's John Adair from the Freedom Worship Center. It's you know, at the beginning of this whole program, Michael, you talked about how excited you were, and I really sometimes have a hard time coming down from these shows.
Because
I mean, there's so much good stuff. All right, well, let's go through some of these gifts because we do want to verbally acknowledge them. This one came in from Roy Musi, or is it Muse? M-U-I-S-E. This was his normal $100 monthly donation.
He actually does that for Danny and Vivian. I want to make sure that Roy is a supporter of the ministry. But there's a couple there. They're not online. They don't have a computer. Just a sweet, sweet couple. I know Danny and his wife are in their 60s, And they give Roy their credit card and tell him make sure Mike gets his money every month.
Well, so that he did.
Yes.
And thank you very much, Roy. Roy lives in Canada, so
yes.
Very much appreciated, and as you can imagine. This isn't a donation, but this is from a gentleman who's been marvelously impacted by the gospel, from French Canada, Michael, from Montreal, who forwarded us his French gospel website. And if you want to check that out, folks, that's donaldfini.com. And he just was raving in his praise of the impact that the gospel has had on his life. That's Donald, DonaldFinnie.com. So that was great to hear from him as well. Even though it was in very much broken English, the point was still well taken. This is a message from Chris in Corpus Christi, who met you down there.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that how much they appreciated hearing you, and that you had really given them a lot to think about. Tell us a little bit about that meeting in Corpus Christi, because you weren't expected to speak, and you got together with folks who are under the heading of Ultimate Reconciliationists, and but you did get to speak, and apparently it had its intended effect as well.
Yes, I did get to speak, and it really was a wonderful time. And the teaching that I did there, I know that Willie recorded it. There's even more, as John said, there's more that I want to get done when we get in Canada. It is very, very, very powerful teaching. One of the things that we go into, it's just one of the, gosh, you know, if there was 100 things in it, this would be one of them. And where Paul questions, you know, can their unbelief undo the faith of God? And then he says, God forbid. But I never really connected it together, because the very next thing he says, let God be true and every man a liar. And it's like, oh my God. Oh, my God, he is saying that anybody who says that unbelief can override the faith of God is a liar, which they are. It says, and God's truth, the God, you hear people saying, this is the God's truth. Well, here I can tell you, this is the God's truth, because it's even in context. The God's truth is that God's faith is not affected by man's unbelief, not affected by man's unbelief at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just a tidbit of that is going to be in this new series that is coming up. And we're really, really looking forward to getting it recorded so that we can get it on the CDs, and of course the conference will be that the people will be able to buy the CDs from the conference there, which will have myself and John Adair, both of us together, sharing.
Well, you know, the Bible says that the gospel was given to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy.
Yeah.
And so you're provoking me to jealousy right now. All right, more gifts. We got another $500 donation from Lee Lau from Hong Kong. That's in addition to his monthly $200 contribution.
Thank you, Lee.
That was just such a blessing to get. And here's a $100 gift from Mary and Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who are looking forward to, they did that on PayPal. they said, Mary said, I heard Glenn say this was a special season of blessings from the Lord who give. So I PayPal'd $100 to get my special blessing. Laugh out loud. She said, actually, you guys are two big blessings enough every week. So she just wants to help spread the word. Thanks, Mary and Steve. Much appreciated. We can't thank you enough for contributing. Here's $100 from William Smith in Destin, Florida. Thank you very much, William.
And that's That's $100 a month.
That's $100 monthly.
Yes.
And so, and John, is it John Jope, J-O-P-E,
yes,
from New South Wales, Australia, also chiming in with $100 monthly?
That's half of our $5,000 goal on the monthly.
That is absolutely tremendous. John, listening to us in Australia. Sperry Russ, also of Florida, with a $100 gift. I know, with a $25 gift. Thank you very, very much, Sperry.
Thank you very so much.
Sperry has been supporting for a long time.
Yeah.
And he actually was in that meeting in my living room, Michael, when you did the Redemption of the World Series.
That is true.
He was one of, like,
and his wife both were
there. Yeah, one of, like, the four or five people that were in there. That three-tape series, ladies and gentlemen, has gone literally all over the world. And that's when we talk about inviting Mike to your area, and you know, people think, well, I only got a few people. It's not the number of people, although we're happy to speak to as many as you can get. It's the opportunity to meet new people, to build new relationships, and to get these fresh series out, because from that point on, then they go all over the world.
Yes.
Absolutely tremendous. Here's a $100 donation, and they're also looking forward to seeing the free 2-CD Teaching in Christ from Chris and Lizzie Esmeyer in Montana. And thank you so much, you guys. They've been supporters for a long time.
Yes, they have.
And Chris wanted to say, he forgot to mention in his previous email, that his lovely wife, Lizzie, is listening to us in Fort Wayne, Indiana, giving support to her twin sister, Allison, as she works 12-hour shifts as a respiratory therapist.
Wow.
And Chris and Lizzie live in Butte, Montana, about 45 minutes from our good friend Mike Farmer. And Allison also lives in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. But in Fort Wayne, Indiana tonight, listening to the Gospel Revolution. And I think that about updates us. Yay.
That's a great update from where we were last time.
Yeah, I mean, it's oh, and then we got a great email from our buddy Bruce Gosey in Kentucky, who emailed us this story about Senator Grassley probing the televangelist. And that we so appreciate you guys. You know, obviously we're out there looking and scouting, if you will, all the time. But when you give us a heads up, it's very much appreciated. We always look forward to hearing from you guys, no matter what the context of your communication is with us. And the big news tonight in politics, Michael, is that our good buddy Pat Robertson, I don't know if you saw this, has endorsed Rudolph Giuliani for president of the United States.
Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, so I guess abortion and gay rights isn't such a big deal after all.
Well, as one comment came in as I was watching the news, they said that they believe that this was the sign of the end of the world.
Oh, my God. You know, it's
well, anything to keep a Mormon out of there, you know.
Well,
I
was just going to say that. Pat Robertson made a decision that it was more important to keep a Mormon out of the White House than to have a Catholic who's been married and divorced three times and who believes in a woman's right for an abortion and that gay people should have equal rights. So he's put that all aside because Mayor Giuliani obviously has taken a very, very hard line on the war on terrorism. And I guess that's where Robertson's heart's at. So,
well, at least I found out that with Pat, at least Mormons are worse than gay people now.
Or at least Mormons are worse than people who like gay people.
That's right.
Now, Michael is going to Calgary this weekend.
Yes.
And there's information on the GospelRevolution.com website about that. For all you folks in Calgary, it's this Friday, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We fly out day after tomorrow.
And John Adair is going to be with Michael there. So you can get information, if you haven't already done so, at the GospelRevolution.com website. Then the next weekend, Michael is going to be in central Wisconsin in Marshfield on the 16th, 17th, and 18th of November. Also, all the information and contact information with our good buddy Pep Washburn is on the website. And then after the meeting on Sunday afternoon, you're going down Sunday night to southern Wisconsin, to Beloit, where you will be meeting with Kathy. I can't think of Kathy's last name right now. I've got it right here. It's Kathy Price. Kathy and her husband down there in Beloit are going to be hosting Mike on Sunday and Monday evening, the 18th and 19th, and the contact information, again, is on the gospelrevolution.com website. So, you know, what I'm excited about, not only, Michael, that you're having a chance to speak to all these wonderful people, but that the series that are going to be coming out of these meetings is going to be something to behold indeed.
And with our, we've got full-time staff now on the CDs. So believe me, folks, I swear on my mother's grave, and she gave me her phone number the other day so I can do this.
So you know she's listening.
She's definitely listening anyway. These never again will we have this horrible dilemma of these CDs, that's for sure. So we've got all of this equipment is new. That's part of where this money is going, is to this grand, really wonderful equipment that we have. And we also want to be able to pay the people who do this now. So good stuff. You'll get some good CDs, and they will get to you quickly.
Yes, and for those of you that are either just logging in now or are listening to the archive, your contributions all week long until we meet again are going to count towards this week's goal. So there's several ways that you can give, and that which you need, we need you to give. And number one is you can go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on donations, and make a one-time gift and a monthly pledge of what you're going to do on a monthly basis. Then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. It doesn't make a difference what time of day or night that you're listening to us, but let us know what you did so we can include it in the total and acknowledge it. And for $100 or more, you will receive, free and postage paid, the brand new 2-CD teaching, In Christ. That's brand new for Michael. So you can do that at the gospelrevolution.com website. And as I said, then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did. Or you can just simply mail a check to our offices in Olney, Illinois, and that's just, you just make out the check to Mike Williams Ministry, or MWM, and that's P.O. Box 572. P.O. Box 572, Olney, Illinois, O-L-N-E-Y, Illinois, 62450. And if you're sending a check from outside the United States, even though the Canadian dollar is now caught up to the U.S. dollar, we have a lot of people listening from all over the world. But regardless, if you're sending a check from outside the U.S., please include USF or United States funds by the total of what you are giving.
We're losing money now by them doing that.
Well, I think it's pretty close, isn't it, at this point?
Well, it's $1.10. Yeah, we have to pay $1.10 now for a Canadian dollar.
So we don't want them to do that from Canada right now.
Well, it still does cost to have the checks processed, so it's much better that they do it in the USF, yes.
Well, as they say in the entertainment industry, Michael, that's a wrap. And
quite
an evening and a week it's been. And wow, I'm just so excited for you guys up there in Calgary that are going to be able to sit under the teaching of Michael L. Williams and John Adair. That's going to be fantastic.
Yes, it is.
All right, well, have a safe trip. We love you.
Thank you. Love you. Thanks to everybody.
And we'll talk to you guys 1 week's time. They'll be our third and final night of the Autumn Pledge Drive a week from tonight. That will be on the 14th of November, 2007. Until then, we want to thank Patrick L. Jones, our executive producer and engineer extraordinaire of this webcast. This is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.